Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. It feels especially good today to call this the Flower Farmer Forum podcast because I just heard back from an attorney and our trademark was officially approved. So Flower Farmer Forum is trademarked, which is pretty awesome. So that's the name of the podcast. And we also have our forum that we hosted last January that we will be hosting again this winter. We will be announcing it in a couple weeks, the date and location. It's going to be in St. Cloud. We're going to move it, but we're working on speakers. And that's why we haven't announced the date, because I really, really want someone to come and not just lecture us about cover crops or pest management or whatever it might be, but I want them to be available afterward to be able to answer questions so that we can actually, for example, I want someone there who can actually sell us the cover crop that they're talking about. And no, I don't want it to just be a sales pitch, but at the same time, if there is not an easy path to actionable steps to take after you get information, you're not going to follow through. So we can listen to an unbiased person that's not selling stuff tell us about cover crops all day long, but then we have to go and then find someone to buy the product that we need. Where the people that I'm going to invite, yes, of course, they get a sales commission out of it if they sell something, but they're still not going to recommend a product that they don't think can work for us. So just because someone is selling something doesn't mean that, you know, they're unbiased or their information is correct. So I'm really excited to just not rush that process. And I know who I want to be there because it has to be someone that I trust. Because again, I don't want us all just listening to a sales pitch. But if someone can give us the proper information and then say, oh, and here is exactly how you buy that, and I can have it to your house, and this is when you plant it, and then you'll have that person to follow up with, I think that's helpful. So yeah, we're just still working through that agenda, what will be on there, and then we'll officially set the date. We have two or three dates in mind, two specifically and kind of one backup date, but they will be again in the winter. Last year, yes, it did blizzard. It was literally the one snow day we had in Minnesota the entire winter. And actually, it wasn't even Minnesota. It was in South Dakota and Iowa, and those guests did not make it. But we're just going to have to roll the dice because we can't do it during planting season and can't do it during the summer because everyone's busy with their flower farm. So here we go. But today's episode, I want to talk about labeling your dahlias and what exactly that means. So we get told all the time, you know, make sure you label your dahlias in the fall. Don't forget to label your dahlias. But what does that mean? How does that process work? So for today's episode, you can actually head to the notes. And I have this entire thing in a 7-page PDF summary with links to anything that I talk about are in there. Yes, they're affiliate links. They're for my Amazon store. But honestly, you guys know that I make like 20 cents if you buy something. So it's not exactly a moneymaker for me, but it's a more accurate way of tracking who actually, not who, because I can't see who, but how many people actually click on the links. And then I can just track those, make sure that, you know, what I'm providing is the information that my listeners want. Because if only one person clicks on the link and I put all this work into creating it, like I don't even care who buys it, but I can see how many people click. And then at least I'm resonating with the right audience here. So that's how I track it. But this guide, I know so many of you are historians that like to print things off and like to have things physical. And you know, the digital world sometimes gets overdone. So we made this a PDF. So if you click on the link to get the free dahlia guide, you type in your email address, and then we send you the PDF and you can print it off. There are clickable links within it, but hopefully that is helpful to you guys. I'm going to try to do one episode a month like this with some sort of guide. Next month in October, I'm going to have a guide of exactly what kind of tulips I am planting and photos of them. And after, you know, 4 years of growing tens of thousands of tulips each year, I think this year I have 23,000 coming, but it'll have all the different kinds of tulips. So I think something downloadable once a month is kind of helpful just to have supplemental to what you've already got going on. So dahlias, how to label and store them in the fall. Right now it is September 14th as I record this. So yes, it's a little bit last minute. This comes out on September 16th, but in Minnesota, in the years that I've been flower farming, the first year we had a frost on September 19th, which was really early. But then every other year it's been into October. But you just never know when that's going to happen. And if a frost comes through and completely wipes out your dahlias, you are not going to remember which plant is which. And you want to make sure that, you know, throughout the years, at first I was just keeping everything. And now I've definitely started culling a lot of different varieties, even if they're a pretty stem, even if they're a pretty bloom. If they're a really tiny, fragile stem, I'm probably going to get rid of them because if they're breaking off, it's just not worth it. And so you learn which varieties work for you and your farm and what varieties your customers want, whether or not you're going to sell tubers, whether or not you're just going to keep growing them for fun, for a hobby. It's important to label them properly. So this time of year, actually this week is when I plan on doing it. First, you need your materials. So an oil-based paint marker, not a Sharpie, because it has to be durable, waterproof, weather resistant. The Sharpies will fade on these plastic tags. And then I use these plastic tree tags. I have the link on that PDF, but they are meant to be written on with the oil-based marker, and then they'll stay on the bottom of the dahlias. And then you need a potato fork, not a shovel, a potato fork, and then a certain type of scissors for dividing them. I also have used a chainsaw or an axe in the past to get that initial cut down the middle done and just kind of break them apart at first. But those are the things that I use to label my dahlias. And again, I'm in zone 4B. So if this doesn't apply to you in the south, if you are lucky enough to be able to just leave them in the ground, but you still have to dig them up to divide them. But this is what we do in zone 4B. So about 4 weeks before my expected frost, which I'm probably 3 weeks out, so I'm a little behind, but I start labeling the dahlias. So on every single plant, I'm going to go through and I'm going to strip the bottom leaves off of the plant to make space for the tree tag. And then as low as possible to the base of the plant, put the tree tag on there with the dahlia name. Now here is where I'm going to share a little tip of what I do. I put on there specifically at the end of it, keep or sell or whatever, so that I know exactly. You know, I have this, we call them the Abraham Lincoln ones, and they're these really pretty red ball dahlias. They just don't work well with the colors that I need. And so I'm planning on, again, just keeping maybe one plant this year and selling the rest as tubers. They make great tubers. It's just the flowers themselves aren't great for me and my cut flower business. However, they are lovely in landscaping and they're some of my earliest bloomers. So they are great to sell the tubers to hobby gardeners. So I do want to keep some and then just sell those tubers every year, but I don't want to have a whole row of them for cutting. And so immediately on that tag, I'm going to write that because that way it just saves me that step in the spring while it's on my mind. My Cornells, my Joey Winnies, my, I don't even know what they're called, but they are these big orange dinner plate dahlias that I grew this year. And I'm keeping every single one of them. I'm not selling those this year because I want more for next year. And then next year I'll be able to sell a bunch of them. So I'm going to write on there, keep, just so that I remember. And then that way you can sort them right away. And then I can immediately have them like, these are mine. These are the ones for sale. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is. And I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. So now you have them all labeled. They're still blooming. You know exactly what they are. I plan on this year, I'm going to have a bit of a invite-only meadow dahlia preview thing at the farm. So anyone that bought tubers from me last year, I'm going to send an invitation to come and look at the flowers this year, the ones I'm going to have for sale, because I'm going to have way more tubers on my sale than I did last year. So they can come from, I don't know, 4 to 5 and just see the dahlias in the meadow while they're in full bloom. And then from 5 to 6 p.m. they can cut them. And so I'm planning on doing that like the last week before frost, right after my subscriptions end. I always want that little week of cushion. So that's why I think also I'm switching my subscriptions to 8 weeks next year, so that I have a little bit more cushion, because I plan on having double the dahlias next year as I do this year. Right now I have 600 plants. I plan on having, well, about 1,000 next year, and keeping certain varieties and having more of the prolific varieties. So now you have them labeled and just keep going on business as usual. Your dahlias are all labeled. You know what they're called. You know which one is which row. And then once that first frost hits, you don't worry about it. So in my experience, that first frost is going to be really devastating, because everything is just black and ugly and sad. And, you know, you're going to walk through and, you know, it's really pretty for about an hour. And then by that afternoon, it's just looks like a bomb went off in your garden. And so once that hits, there's really no rush to dig them up. As long as the ground is not frozen solid, they're just fine. I've even had snow on them. They're just fine. So take your time. I like to keep them in the ground for 2 to 3 weeks afterwards, because that's going to help those eyes really pop up. Now you can do everything at your own pace. I go through and I take a pole saw and I cut off the stalks right above the tree tag. And then, like I said, as long as they're in the ground, they're fine. I don't go and cut off the stalks until I'm ready to dig that specific one up. So I will do one row at a time, couple hours a day, just kind of moving through. I am not necessarily a spring or fall divider. I'm a little bit of both. So my thing is, whatever I can reasonably get done in the fall without absolutely like working myself to death, I will do. But then if I have to wait until spring, I can, because I have a big enough space to store them in proper temperature that I don't have to worry about it. So if I'm going to divide them in the fall, what I'll do is I'll go through my field, and sometimes it never fails. There are random, you know, if I have some Ivanettis, which I'm keeping all of those for next year, I absolutely love them. I can get like 30 inch stems and they're just amazing. And they're great for wedding work. I can use them for like aisle plate centerpieces that are really on style right now, because they need really long, sturdy stems. And so I'm planning on keeping all those. Well, I have them scattered throughout the 6 rows in my field, because I think that they got a little bit mislabeled, but luckily I planted them all and they weren't in my mystery sale last year. And so now I'm going to go through and dig up every single Ivanetti, and then I put them on a white banquet table, like a plastic one, in the middle of my field, and I can wash them off when they're in the garden. And so that dirt that washes off just goes right back onto the field and they're right there. And then I just divide then and there and put all the ones with a viable eye in a crate, let them dry out, and then I wrap them in saran wrap once they're dry and they're done. So I try to do everything 100% for that variety as long as I can. I'm going to get through the varieties first that I know that I want to keep, and then say there's some varieties that I had planned on selling that it didn't happen. Then, you know, if I dig them up, keep them in the clump, keep the dirt on them, put them in a tote. Honestly, I think last year I just threw a blanket over top because that dirt really keeps them a lot more moist and they're just fine over the winter. So think about how our grandmas used to do it. They would just dig it up, keep the dirt on it, throw it in their root cellar, plant it the next year, and it was fine. And 99% of the time it was fine. That is how they're meant to be stored. If we start washing them, cleaning them, you know, storing them in, you know, this or that, that's when, you know, when we start messing with them. Because the thing is to remember, dahlias don't have to be divided. They don't have to be cut up in individual tubers. That's to make more plants. But if you don't want to make more plants, and if you're a hobby grower, you can definitely just dig it up, store it in a paper bag, put it back in the next year. Ideally, they're stored 45 to 55 degrees. So I know that's kind of hard for some people if they don't have, you know, if their garage is not heated or, you know, and especially in Minnesota, I wouldn't trust putting them in my garage because that door is open and closed so often. But in our shop, like our workshop, that's perfect because we can keep it right at 40 degrees. That's how I kind of decide what the best way to do it is. Because if I'm going to divide in the spring, it needs to be a warm spring day so I can do it outside. There's so much dirt that needs to be washed off of those that if I'm doing that inside, it's just a disaster at that point. I've seen people wash them in their bathtubs with a little bit of bleach and put cinnamon on them. And I'm not saying that those things don't work, but I'm just saying that I don't do that and I've been just fine. So I think the more you complicate it, the more complex it gets. The reason we use a potato fork instead of a shovel is because it doesn't damage those outside roots. And I feel like it also helps keep the soil that you can shake off those large clumps of dirt and it doesn't compact everything together and slice your tubers in half. So it just helps really loosen the dirt instead of slice the dirt, if that makes sense. But yeah, it kind of depends whether you want to divide in the fall, divide in the spring, but getting those dahlias labeled is so important. But whatever you can do to organize it for yourself later, your future self will thank. So have a list right now of which ones you want to keep, which ones you want to get rid of, which ones you want to sell, which ones you want to give away. You don't even want to have them next year. And then that way, I always start with the ones that I know that I need to keep. Divide up those first, then the ones that I know I'm going to sell, but try to just sort them ahead of time as best as you can. Last year, we had a really, really nice October. And so I spent a couple hours every afternoon washing off tubers. I would do probably 30 plants a day. And it was amazing. I think before I even had to plant my tulip bulbs, I had all of the dahlias divided up, packaged, ready to go for the winter. And it felt so good. So then in March, I brought them inside. I started waking them up and I had my tubers in the ground by May 1st this year, which is crazy early, but the soil was warm. We had a mild winter and I had my best dahlia season yet, which I know that's not the case for a lot of people in Minnesota. We were wet. We had a lot of rain this year, but compared to the rest of Minnesota, the majority of rain and those huge, you know, flooding down south, we missed out on a lot of that. So I know a lot of people, their dahlias were too wet, but last year we were in an absolute drought compared to everyone else in our area. So I feel like a win's a win and I'll take it when I can get it and I'm not going to feel bad about it. So people were nice to us. Mother Nature was nice to us this year. So the main varieties that I know for sure I'm going to keep, if you go to the guide, so I've got those Cafe Olays in the upper top. I'm going to keep some, but the problem is like they didn't start blooming for me until mid-September, which I want some for weddings. We're booking a lot more weddings this year. So I do want some for weddings because they're lovely, but they're just not great for subscriptions. And their vase life kind of sucks. Whereas those orange dinner plate dahlias, if I could have two rows of them, I would. My Cornels, brown sugar, the stems are just so short, but they're still really pretty. They're great in bud vases. It's just their stems are so short, I can barely use them in a bridal bouquet. The Joey Winnie, the Joey Nikki, I'm definitely keeping those. I love my Chilson's Pride, Boom Boom White. If I had to grow one dahlia forever and ever, that's probably what it would be. That's the one that's most requested. It's white. It's neutral. even if a bride is having fall colors, they still like some pops of white in there. That's the one florists want from me all the time. And so I did about a half a row, so like a 30-foot by 4-foot row of boom boom white this year. I'm planning on doing 2 rows of boom boom white next year. So I'm pretty excited about that. But just make sure you start labeling them. And yeah, so just make sure you get them labeled now. Go ahead and download the guide. I hope that it's helpful. Let me know if you have questions. Head over to our Facebook group. It is a goal of ours this winter to get the Facebook group up and going a little bit more. Conversations happening about the episodes. I would love if you would post in there. The Facebook group is completely free, so make sure you click on that. And as episodes come out every week, we can have conversations about them. So please go ahead and utilize that group a little bit more. And I hope you guys are having a great fall. Talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com